Welcome back to SpaceX Daily, listeners. Today we're joined by Ethan Stargazer, a space policy analyst, to discuss Starlink's recent victory in India. Ethan, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Ava. It's an exciting development, to be sure.
Absolutely. So for our listeners who might not be up to speed, India's decided to allocate satellite broadband spectrum directly instead of auctioning it off. This is a big win for Starlink, right?
Huge win. See, globally, this spectrum is typically allocated, not auctioned. Musk was arguing that India would be setting a strange precedent. But this also speaks to a broader struggle between entrenched telecom giants and emerging satellite internet providers.
Right, we've got Ambani and Mittal, who essentially control India's mobile market, pushing for an auction. They argue it's about a level playing field, but it seems like they're trying to protect their turf.
Exactly. They've invested heavily in terrestrial infrastructure, and Starlink coming in with potentially cheaper, more accessible internet is a threat. But Musk countered that argument beautifully, saying an auction would actually make it harder to serve rural communities, which is where Starlink can be a game changer.
It's interesting, though, that the Indian government ultimately sided with a foreign company over their own industrial giants. What do you make of that?
It's a sign, I think, that India recognizes the strategic importance of satellite internet. They're aiming to be a tech powerhouse, and lagging behind in connectivity hurts that ambition. Plus, the global trend is towards allocation, so aligning with that makes sense.
It'll be fascinating to see how this plays out. Will Starlink's entry actually drive down prices and improve service, or will we see more pushback from the established players?
Oh, there will definitely be pushback. This is just the first volley. But for consumers, especially in underserved areas, this could be transformative. Imagine remote villages getting high-speed internet for the first time. The implications are huge.
So, Ethan, this Starlink versus Jio battle in India is fascinating. It's not just about who gets more customers. It's about national strategy, technological independence, even sovereignty. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely, Ava. It's a microcosm of the larger tech decoupling we're seeing globally. India wants to be a player, not just a market, and that means controlling its own digital destiny. Jio, being domestically owned, plays into that narrative perfectly.
Right, and the article highlighted the national security angle, reliance on a U.S. company for critical infrastructure in a region with geopolitical tensions. That's bound to raise eyebrows in New Delhi.
For sure. Remember the whole Huawei 5G debacle? Countries are wary of becoming too reliant on foreign tech, especially for something as vital as communications. Data security is another concern. If Starlink routes Indian traffic through US servers, that raises all sorts of sovereignty issues.
And yet, Starlink has that first mover advantage. They're already operational, reaching remote areas that traditional telcos have ignored. Can Jio really catch up, even with partnerships like OneWeb?
That's the billion-dollar question. Jio has the financial muscle and the government's backing, but building out a satellite constellation takes time. They might have to get aggressive with acquisitions or partnerships to close the gap quickly.
It seems like a tough choice for India. Embrace Starlink's innovation and risk dependence, or prioritize self-reliance with Jio and potentially lag behind technologically.
It's a balancing act, for sure. The ideal scenario might be a hybrid approach, Starlink serving those ultra-remote areas where Jio's terrestrial network can't reach, while Jio dominates the mainstream market. That way, India gets the best of both worlds.
Speaking of competition, let's shift our gaze eastward. Ethan, China's been making some moves in the mega constellation game with their own Starlink competitor, right?
Absolutely, Ava. They're calling it Guowang, which translates to National Network. Ambitious name, ambitious goals. They're aiming for over 10,000 satellites, just like SpaceX.
And they're not wasting any time. Just this week, they launched another batch of satellites for this Guowang constellation, correct?
That's right. 18 satellites on a Long March 6A rocket. It's their second launch for the project, but they've got a long way to go to catch up with Starlink's thousands of satellites already in orbit.
Well, it seems like even SpaceX isn't immune to delays. Ethan, we're hearing that their first crewed mission to Earth's poles, Fram-2, has been pushed back. What's the latest?
Yeah, Ava, unfortunately so. They're now targeting spring 2025 at the earliest. Seems like the primary reason is to ensure optimal launch and return conditions.
Safety first, always, especially with human lives at stake. But this delay is still a bit of a bummer. This mission sounded pretty fascinating, observing Earth from that unique polar perspective.
Absolutely. Think about it. Studying those high-altitude auroras, conducting human X-ray imaging in space, these are pretty groundbreaking experiments.
Not to mention the behavioral health studies in microgravity. That's an area we're only beginning to scratch the surface of, right?
Exactly. The more data we gather on long-duration spaceflight's effects on the human psyche, the better prepared we'll be for future missions, especially those deep space journeys to Mars and beyond.
Well, Ethan, it seems like Elon Musk is really leaning into this whole political arena. The latest reports show his super PAC, America PAC, has been pouring millions into supporting Republican candidates, particularly in those tight congressional races that could tip the balance of power. What's your take on this sudden surge in political spending from someone who previously seemed content with rockets and electric cars?
It's definitely a fascinating, albeit concerning, development, Ava. Musk's always been outspoken, but this level of financial involvement signifies a strategic shift. He's clearly aiming to influence policy decisions that directly impact his business empire, from securing lucrative government contracts for SpaceX to potentially easing regulatory scrutiny on Tesla.
And he's not shying away from aligning himself with Trump either, even after previously suggesting Trump should sail into the sunset. What do you make of that dynamic?
It's a calculated risk, no doubt. Trump's rhetoric might alienate some, but it also resonates with a significant portion of the electorate. By publicly backing Trump and echoing some of his more divisive claims, Musk is tapping into that base, potentially influencing their voting decisions.
It's a bold strategy, that's for sure. Only time will tell how it plays out in the long run. Thanks for breaking it down for us, Ethan. That's all the time we have for today. Make sure to join us next time for more insights and analysis here on SpaceX Daily.